You don't write music that way. No. Well, do you suppose that Beethoven had tacked the C major scale up on his when he wrote
bum 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 bum
it's all the C major scale. There's nothing much there except the I hope it's in C major. Certainly Beethoven didn't have to tack up the problems of C major. I will admit it was a great convenience that everybody was doing just the same thing, more or less. So that you didn't have the differences, but actually the problems that the composer faces in understanding the note territory is not very great. As a matter of fact, it seems to be developed in your own mind without, I never have to even study, I don't find it work. It's just I think about it all the time, and all of a sudden I write on the back of match, inside matchboxes. Any other questions? You don't have to ask. Yes?
When did you write that last piece and the piece before that?
In 1972 for the Landscapes Remembered, in 1973 for the, was it? 1973 for the violin. I'm sure you all were aware of the memory tune on which the concerto is based. Sure. I'd rather not talk about it. It seems to me it makes it seem a little silly. But it would be sort of interesting. It could be sort of interesting because, you see, it's that quotation in the Landscapes Remembered and the use of this combination of vibraphone and harp and whatever it is that I use. That sound that I found so fascinating. And what I found fascinating to do with this, where the violin comes in, he plays that tune, but he's always jumping, you know, a different octave. It's the same tune. It's the same thing. But it's at different octaves. And that gives, I think, that wonderful sweep through there. Yes?
Are you still following, pursuing that?
No. It's getting harder and harder for me to stand on my hind legs. And I find that working in a studio is just impossible. I get a sore back and I just can't take it. Let me explain that I don't know that I certainly don't deserve to be thought of as a composer of electronic music. There really is only one piece in which I use an electronic tape as a really integral part, and that is three pieces for strings, winds, percussion, and electronic tape. That piece does use it. I suddenly decided in the early 60s that I was ignorant and I better find out about electronic music. It was something that I hadn't grown up with and I thought I'd find out about it. And I wangled an invitation down to the Columbia Princeton Laboratory in New York and was given the most marvelous teacher that I've ever had, and that's Mario Davidovsky. The work's dedicated to him and should be. He was a wonderful teacher because he really helped the old guy to try to understand these gadgets. I'm just impossible when it comes to machinery. I can hardly turn on a phone. And so I worked real hard in the laboratory, and he was very patient, and the most marvelous thing, he never did anything for me. He saw to it that I did it myself. And we had certain disagreements, I remember, because I had come down with the piece I wanted to do. I had decided that I was going to do a piece right off the bat. And so I had the piece all written and little descriptions of what I wanted the electronic tape to do. But he was very tolerant about it and got to work with me. It was sort of amusing now because I came right after Varese, and Varese was making a piece of music and he'd say, louder, louder, and the place was just bursting. It just shook in the basement of that building. And the point that I'm really making is that I'm not electronic composer. Why? Because I have to make that machine do my kind of music. Just exactly as I've made these do my kind of music. A young person in his 20s is developing this style. So his music evolves from the use of that instrument. So he can become an electronic composer. I am. I can plaster electronic tape on it. Just one more comment. However, the experience of working with electronic tape has totally revolutionized my sense of orchestration. You must sound against me. Yes?
I was going to ask, you laid out certain parameters of your compositional techniques. You put some 12 tones together, and you made certain sense of tonality, which is a reality that all of us respond to, and so on. But in your compositional approach, do you think that intuition precedes theory? You use both, but your intuition is guiding you in the use of those materials.
First, one is born. Then, one is conditioned. And by the age of 6, there are so many things that have happened to you that have become a part of your musical instinct that I'm not honestly sure that I any longer believe that one can hardly teach anybody anything after that period. But in any case, you try. And so you study. I played the cello. I played lots of tunes. I sang barbershop music with my brothers. I played in a jazz orchestra. I filled my mind full of all sorts of things, some of it good, lots of it bad. I memorized lots of things at the piano. I just absorbed music. I grew up at a period, you see, when there were no phonograph records. And so I played all of the Beethoven string quartets from the score, and I played the symphonies, not from the score, that was too much work, but I got me a two-hand version of them. And I just ate up. There was a terrific hunger that I had as a young person for music. Not any more of a hunger than the young people today. They have this. They have the same thing. And so suddenly, I can't remember when I started to compose. I was so young, I just can't remember. But I was very fortunate because I had parents who never said, don't do that. I would improvise at the piano. That was perfectly all right by them. Evidently, I wasn't too noisy. Anyhow, my brother who played the trumpet in my ear was a lot worse. Incidentally, you hear the trumpet in landscapes, remember, quite a lot. So, you see, my mind began to develop, and so I developed an intuition. Now, I would say that my intuition always comes first. But I believe, I'm not one of these people that think that that theory hurts you. You know, there are people that think that it could kill your style. It could kill you as a composer to study counterpoint. I think that's sheer nonsense. I've studied Palestrina counterpoint, I've studied Gibson counterpoint, I've studied the dreadful counterpoint book that Boulanger put us through in the Oh, I only got through about that much of it. None of it has ruined me. I even Alban Baird asked me to analyze by numbers, all of the rows in the woodwind quintet of Schoenberg. I had a lot of fun doing that. I went down to the Heitzinger Hof and I did that while I had a big mug of beer. you see, I think intuition comes first, or theory makes no sense. I think that's what my answer is. What a long winded.